Becoming a Person of Integrity, today on The Balanced Word.
Now, what we've done in our syrupy, sweet, politically correct world is we've decided we don't want to hurt people. And as a result, we water things down so much so that we don't stand for anything, that we won't speak up for anything. Sometimes it's true, the truth hurts. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so the question that we have to live with is, okay, am I going to call sin, sin, while at the same time delivering in such a way that it's not intended to hurt, but it's intended to heal, and that's the thrust of my life? Don't think that integrity means that you just don't take a stand anymore, that you just wimp out. But no, a person of integrity calls sin, sin.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
A heavenly life is on full display today on The Balanced Word through a study of Psalm 15. Now, this psalm describes the kind of life we need to be close to God and even experience the heavenly life here on earth. Pastor Dave Rolfe is our Bible teacher, and here he is now with what integrity looks like.
Here in this progression in verse 2, speaking the truth in your heart and then working righteousness, making that word for work is a word that means this is what you do all day long. This is your path that you're on. And so as we see ourselves and are honest about ourselves and with ourselves, then we go, okay, there are some areas that I'm coming short. I want to work on those areas. I want to work at doing the right thing. Now, in this, it's another challenge. It's one thing to see ourselves. And so often we go through times when God convicts us and we just go, whoa, I really need to work on that. Last week, we talked about meditating on God's word and how when we meditate on God's word, as Psalm 1 says, everything that we do will prosper. Now, there were some of us who last Sunday, God really spoke to us that we need to meditate more on God's word. And maybe you thought about it, and even later during the week, you were like, yeah, I really ought to do that. There are some who goes, boy, I should do that. And then as soon as you hit the back door, get a donut in you, you're over it. It's like, okay, forget it. That was a good message. What was it about? I don't know, but it was really good. I should go get the CD and listen to it later, and I'm sure there are some good things for me. And you get the CD, and it gets stacked next to all the other CDs that you've purchased that you haven't listened to. And it's like, okay, what am I going to do? But then there were some people who last week, they just go, I'm going to work on that. And at least once this week, you took a piece of God's word and you really did try to meditate on it. That's working. And that should be our lives as we're honest with ourselves. The next thing is, okay, I need to apply this. I want to practice this. I want this to become a part of my life. And if we work at that, the result, a life of integrity, a life that pleases God. A life that lives in the realm of being close to him. A life that promises a future with him. And so, just in this little verse, you want to be close to God? Start with being honest in your own heart. Admit your failure. Be honest about who you are. And then, don't just be depressed about it. Work on it. And you'll see your life coming together in a way that demonstrates integrity. What an important application for us from God's word. But now he goes on and he really starts to meddle. And I, you know, if I'm thinking of nailing people for integrity, I would think he would go, now, don't be, you know, a big con man where you're always lying to everyone. Or I'd go, don't be someone who cheats on your spouse, or don't be somebody who uses drugs to stimulate yourself artificially to get up for things. And I, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, those ball players that take steroids and hit all those home runs. I'm thinking about, oh, those people who are cheating constantly and some of them getting caught and some of them not. And those people who are, you know, corrupt and their corporations are, you know, getting in trouble now. And it's like, yeah, integrity, integrity. But it's interesting that what he goes after is something much more profound in some ways and more personal for most of us. He says, okay, you want a little test to see how you're doing in the integrity department? First of all, a person of integrity does not backbite with his tongue. That word for backbite literally in Hebrew means to run around back and forth all over the place. It came to refer to backbiting because we have this tendency, we have this capacity that if there's something going on, we can't wait to get there and see what's happening. And we run over there and we get the story, and then we can't wait to run and tell someone else about it. It was funny a week, well, it's not real funny, but a week or so ago when my son William was in an accident on the freeway in a pileup, and a car spun out of control in front of him and he hit him and his airbags went off. You can see his truck. It's over parked on the side of the church if you'd like to. But he called me from the middle of the freeway and I went hauling down there. And in order to find him, it was really easy because driving along next to the freeway, there was one side of the freeway that was completely backed up and practically stopped. And so I said, I know he's on the other side. Why? Because traffic slowed down more from the looky-loos on the other side of the freeway than how it slowed down where there's two cars in the middle of traffic smashed up. Because we have this tendency to want to see the wrecks. When there's an ambulance, we want to chase it. When there's something that's happening, what's the scoop? I think the phone companies would probably go out of business if we just quit gossiping. Look at how often when we're talking about someone else and what happened to them and what's going on with them. And yes, as Christians, we can call gossip prayer requests. We call it fellowshipping. But the truth is, most of us want to know what's going on. Hey, did you hear the latest about this person? Yeah, what's the scoop with that? What's the deal? And when we do that, we're splitting ourselves up. Integrity is beginning to fall away because we don't want to know what's happening so that we can help. We want to know what's happening just so that we can know and then maybe throw our 2 cents worth in. Put a spin on it and twist it our way. And so running back and forth, going on and on, backbiting basically in this context, saying things even about our friends, saying things about people who we really care about, but we've got to talk about it. And he's saying, that's an example of something that we all do, but it shows a characteristic in our lives of which we should be ashamed. Because that's not integrity. That's not what integrity looks like. And he goes on to say, nor does evil, or literally hurt, injury to his neighbor. I don't think most of us would do things intended to hurt someone. Oh, maybe once in a while you get angry, they've hurt you, you want to hurt them back. But sometimes we just do things that, well, they hurt someone, but that's collateral damage to what we are really trying to do. And then there are many other times when we hurt someone that, you know, we had no intention. We didn't have any idea how that was going to feel to them. We just, well, we couldn't have possibly known. I know myself, injuring people is a real hazard of what I do. Because I talk to a lot of people. And I know not only that I'll talk to you here in my church, but I go speak other places a lot of times where the people don't know me. When I say something sort of outrageous, you know me and you just go, oh, that's just Dave. But someone else, I'm just some guest speaker. And so the possibility of injury is there. And talking to as many people as I do, I know there are people who get hurt. And I can have one of two attitudes about it. I can just say, you know, sorry, that's just me. I'm a man of integrity. But a person of integrity doesn't just indiscriminately say, yep, I'm just acting like myself and I don't care who it hurts. A person of integrity says, I don't want to hurt somebody. I don't want to injure them. Now, it's going to happen, inevitably. Unless you are so politically correct that you don't say anything that means anything at all, there are going to be times when people are injured by what we say and do. But we ought to always hate to do that. If we hurt someone, it should be because I have to do this. Not just because, well, sorry. There are times when I say things that I know will hurt someone. But I have to say it, and so I do. There are other times when I say things that I know it'll probably hurt some people, but I know the other people who really like me, who understand me, who have my sense of humor, they're going to really get a kick out of it. So I'm thinking, should I say this? Should I say this? And I'll look at certain people and go, oh boy, they're going to be mad. And then I'll get eye contact with someone else and I'll go, he's going to love this. So I'll just say it. But a life of integrity means I don't want to cause pain to people unnecessarily. I don't want to just be casual with the way that I allow myself to injure others. And then thirdly, he says, a person of integrity also doesn't take up a reproach against his friend. This is referring to not just saying things, but listening to things. It's hearing what someone has to say bad about your friend, someone you care about. And he's saying integrity shuts the door on gossip, not just the door of your mouth, but the door of your ear as well. I've had this experience a few times in my life where I started to tell someone this great juicy story, and they said, wait a minute, I don't think I want to hear this. I don't think I want to know this. And I was like, first of all, who do you think you are, you wimp? What's the matter? You can't take it. But then I go, thank you. What I was going to say could have easily injured someone. It's better off not saying. And how appreciative I was that they shut it down. Yet, so many times we have the attitude, I'll take it all. You know, if you can't say something good about someone, then sit next to me. And let me hear what you have to say. And then I'll be the receptacle for it. And then I'll use my better judgment as to who ought to know these things. But, you know, tell me first. And then we'll work that part out. But a life of integrity says, if you're saying something bad about my friend, go tell them with a spirit of humility. Go address it to them first. And then if you want me to come in on the conversation, fine. But it says, I don't want to hear bad things that you've heard about people who are close to me, people I care about. I'm just not going to carry that. I'm not going to lug it around. And so, again, taking up a reproach against a friend. Now, he begins to clarify things in verse 4, and he says, now, by the way, in whose eyes a vile person is despised? Vile is wicked, awful, horrible. And the word despised there is the exact same word in the Hebrew. What he's saying is, but you need to call sin, sin. You need to call evil, evil. If something's disgusting, you need to speak out about it. And this is where we have to find a balance. There are some things that are better, well, if you didn't even know about them. And some things that I really hesitate to even talk about. Because I know they could hurt someone, and yet they may be things that you really need to know. Now, what we've done in our syrupy, sweet, politically correct world is we've decided we don't want to hurt people. And as a result, we water things down so much so that we don't stand for anything, that we won't speak up for anything. Sometimes it's true, the truth hurts. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so the question that we have to live with is, okay, am I going to call sin sin? while at the same time delivering in such a way that it's not intended to hurt, but it's intended to heal, and that's the thrust of my life. Don't think that integrity means that you just don't take a stand anymore, that you just wimp out. But no, a person of integrity calls sin, sin. But also he honors those who fear the Lord. He finds people who really respect God and he gives honor to them. The truth is, most people who fear God don't get a lot of honor from this world. And I want to say this as lovingly, but as clearly as possible. Most of the people who get attention in this world, even in the church, do it because they know how to promote themselves. They do it because they're flashy or spectacular, because they have a huge organization that's all about bringing attention to them. I don't want to go any further. I'll be violating. But here's the deal. What he's saying is a person of integrity goes and finds those people who are truly godly and gives them honor. Doesn't just jump on the bandwagon to cheer for everyone else that everyone else is cheering for. And as he goes on, he says also, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. That is, if you make a promise, you'll fulfill it, whether it works out well for you or not. If you sign a contract, you'll carry it through, even if it turns out that the stuff cost you a little more than you thought it was going to be and you're going to lose money on the job. You say, I made this commitment and I am going to keep it. Also, he who does not put out his money at usury. That is, a person who, usury is excessive interest. It's taking advantage of someone in a bad situation and then sticking it to them so that you can profit at their expense. It's like credit card companies charging people 21% to supposedly get their spending in check. He goes on to say, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. You might never be in a position for anyone to bribe you. But how often do we find ourselves in a situation where our personal interest or our personal sentiment even causes us to side on one side of an issue? In some ways, we are like a judge who is being bribed because we can be bought with cheap little things. We can be bought, for instance, if a professional athlete gets in trouble for something. Whether we want them to be convicted or not may depend on whether or not we like the way they run or throw the ball. How silly to sell out in that way. Or you see a celebrity who finds themselves in legal trouble. You take the situation with Martha Stewart where she was put in jail. And if we divided our group up, some of you were kind of, in a sick, perverse way, glad she got hers. Happy to see her go to jail. Others of you were going, Martha Stewart, no, she couldn't have done anything wrong. Where do you make the division between those two sides? Directly in proportion to whether or not you've ever purchased a doily. It comes down to that. And it's like, why are we forming opinions when we have no idea of what's going on? Oh, there's a visible case in the news, and so we feel very strongly, having never read any of the testimony, only getting a feel for it, we either feel like, I don't think they did it because I like them, or I hope they did it. Integrity means everyone has a fair shake, that you will not turn your back on someone because, well, they're in the minority. Or because these people have turned on that person, well, I'm going to turn on them too, because to defend them will make me an enemy of these people who are so important. It is so important for us to maintain an objectivity and a fairness and to look for what's right and to speak up for what's right and to speak up when something is wrong. But at the same time, doing it in a way that we're not running back and forth, we're not playing games, we're not compromising ourselves depending on who we are with, but instead, we're living lives of integrity. Now he winds up by saying, he who does these things shall never be moved. You will be solid and secure in the presence of God today and in his house for eternity if your life looks like this. Now, there are some of you who, as we go over these things, you're going, boy, this is great stuff. It's true. We need more people to be like this. More people to be like me. I am this man or woman of integrity, and that's why I'm so close to God. No, you're not, if you think that. If that's your feeling, if while we are going through these truths, you're looking around and going, boy, I'm glad he's there. I'm glad she's here. Or, ooh, I can't wait to give this message to so-and-so. Oh, man, that betrays that phony heart of yours. There are others of you that look at this passage and just go, there's no use. There's no hope. I'm not like this. I've been nailed on every one of these things. And my life is so phony, I don't even know how to straighten it out. I can't be honest with myself. I'm not honest with God. I'm not honest with others. And you're saying, that's how you get to heaven? Well, I'll see you in hell. I can't get there. I can't do it. But there's good news. The good news is the fact that Jesus Christ died for us. And he offers to clothe us with his righteousness. He says, I know you can't do this. You can't enter my tabernacle. You can't go into the Holy of Holies. You don't qualify. But because of what I did for you on the cross, he says, you can now come boldly before the throne of grace. And that should be the response of our heart when we see what it takes to be with God, to live a heavenly life now and for eternity. Someone is going to have to give us this holiness, this wholeness. Someone is going to have to take the pieces of our life and put them together until they come to a whole number, an integer, until our lives are lives of integrity. And that's what God wants us to do, to receive from him this work of his Spirit, this work of forgiveness.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Now here's Pastor Dave with some closing thoughts.
You go, okay, great. Cool, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about any of this stuff. No. He gives us this practical material for a reason. How do you know that you are really his child? Unless you can look at these things and say, these are things I'm working on. It's starting to come together. I'm not perfect, but boy, praise God, I'm not the way I used to be. I'm making progress. I'm growing. I'm moving toward him. And then he goes, see, my righteousness is starting to affect you. It's changing you. But if you look at your life and you say, I'm getting worse. It's been a bad year. Things are falling apart. I feel like I can't keep up. My life is coming unraveled. I would encourage you to take another look at your relationship with God, because this is what it takes to be close to him. And he wants to do that for you and for me. He does it positionally by the sacrifice of his son Jesus. But don't fool yourself into thinking that that involves just, okay, I'll buy that. And I prayed a little prayer. No, the life of a Christian looks different. There are things that he does in our lives if we are really camping in his tent. And if we look at that and I go, whoa, then get back in the tent. Get back close to him. Draw near him and he'll draw near you and he will do this work in all of our lives.
More from the Psalms coming up next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Raw, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Wake up, my